Blaine and Mickey Thursday. Let's do this. Man, beautiful day outside. Lots going on in the sports world. As always, we're going to be with you for the next couple of hours today. Got great guests. I mean, the Vols, Blaine, are just recruiting. Every time you look at your Twitter timeline, it's more recruiting. And Ryan Callahan, I mean, just right on time, is going to drop in the next segment to start discussing all this. John Glennon is going to join us in hour number two as the Preds just keep rolling. It doesn't matter who plays, who doesn't play, who's hurt, who doesn't get hurt. It doesn't matter. The Preds have won 13 out of 16. They've had great goaltending. I know you talked a lot early in the season, and we were talking about when they were struggling, talking about, okay, give the young guys a chance. You see, because they were playing Pecorine. He was playing quite a bit. UC Soros has been the man, though, during the stand. He has been the man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The juice, and not OJ, is loose. Yes, man. He's been
juice phenomenal. Is on a golf course somewhere. Yeah.
The juice is in the net, stopping everything. That's what he's doing. UC Soros, man. I don't know where that came from. I think Lucas told me to say that. But, man, I think that's really the turnaround. I mean, besides, I think they're playing with a little more grit, a little more sense of urgency. The goalie play has been outstanding. But hats off to those guys. And then, you know, seeing veteran guys implemented back into the fold and seeing how they play, sometimes patience is a virtue. And David Poole right now looks like that was the right call. Unsure, though, you got to still make the playoffs and, you know, see what you can do there. But seems like they finally took a hold of the scheme and the system, and then the goalie play has been outstanding. So, man, you know, it's exciting for the Predators, man. So we're going to have on JG of Glennon Sports breaking it all down on why this is still rolling.
What?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly, he is. John Glennon with Broadway Sports covers the Preds and the Tigers. You can literally ask John Glennon about anything. Like, what's a proper, you know, Thanksgiving dinner to serve? He can answer anything. You know, what are the best kind of tires? Anything. John Glennon is just a man for all seasons.
I got something. Yeah, I'm going to ask him, has he ever met Ralph Sampson?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. Yeah,
watch this. I'm going to ask Luke. Lucas, you eating?
I'm going to be.
Okay, I know we were going to give you a break, but I got to ask you one question.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say Ralph Sampson, and what is your answer?
No idea.
Oh, figured. I figured. Yeah.
Yeah. Blaine, think about if he had stayed healthy.
That's a good example.
Buck Rising also has no idea.
Buck Rising doesn't know. Well, that's not uncommon.
No. Should I know who Ralph Sampson is? Who is that?
Yes, Ralph Sampson. Look at these
two. You can say that name as many times as you want. I'm sorry, I have no idea who the hell you're talking about.
Buck prides himself on not knowing about anything that happened before he was born. He will often take shots at people on Twitter if they tweet out about something old. And he'll say, am I supposed to know what this is? Or how the heck am I supposed to know what this is? He was something about dial-up internet the other day. He was gas-bagging at someone I saw. So Buck prides himself on not knowing about old stuff. Why don't you tell these guys about Ralph Sampson and what a phenomenon he was?
Nah, I let them do their research. The reason the guy came up, because that's where John Glennon went. I said a Virginia. You know, alum. You know, and so the greatest Virginia alum is Ralph Sampson, who was player of the year, phenomenal.
Lucas just looked it up. 1983 basketball player? Out of here, both of you. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was nine.
I was nine. And that's what made me think of Virginia. Okay, you tell us, youngsters. Virginia, what player do you think of any sport when you think of Virginia?
Oh, you just put us on the spot. They just won a national championship, too. I couldn't name a single player from that team.
Kyle Guy.
It could be football, too. The first thing that comes to my mind, it may be the Barber twins, Rondé and Tiki Barber. Herman Moore, who should be in the Hall of Fame, a wide receiver for the Lions.
Woo!
Yeah. Tiki Barber, like the radio host?
No, football? His name is Herman Moore. He doesn't do radio. He owns his own company.
I'm leaving. Goodbye. Have a good show.
Yeah, Google that one, too. So that's all we were talking about, Virginia. I knew you guys probably wouldn't know because it was in the 80s. Lucas wasn't even born.
I wasn't even thought of, Blaine.
Right, okay. Exactly. So it's just, you know, how time flies. But his name resonates with Virginia when you say it. I mean, that's the first thing at least our generation is going to think of. I don't know about this generation. They'll think about their basketball players more so than football, naturally. But their football program is pretty decent, too. It's not bad.
He was the first round pick, first overall in 1983. And so people who know Ralph Sampson is are shaking their head. He got derailed by knee injuries, which if he'd played later on, maybe they could have fixed him better and he could have kept going. He was what, rookie of the year. He's a full-time, four-time All-Star. I've gotten Sports Illustrated basically for my whole life. And one of the greatest Sports Illustrated covers was Ralph Sampson. The whole cover was Ralph Sampson when he was a freshman, I think, Blaine, at Virginia. And it said, "Hello, I am Ralph Sampson. I am 7 feet four. I can shoot, dribble." It had all like a whole paragraph of words next to him. Lucas, think about how big guys can shoot threes now, right? Like a big guy will step out and shoot threes, and that's part of their arsenal. At that time, if you were a big guy, you were just like a big animal that just stayed in the paint and mauled people like a grizzly bear. And maybe you were smooth like the only other option was like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was skinny and slight. But he was just so, gosh, he was just so smooth around the rim, or Hakeem Olajuwon. But then you had guys like Mark Eaton, who played for the Jazz at that time. And he was like 7 foot four. He couldn't have made a shot further than 10 feet away from the basket for all the money in the world. He blocked shots and was a presence. So here was Ralph Sampson, who could play defense, but could play point guard. And he was 7 foot four. At that time, it was like if you and I were walking down Broadway and saw a unicorn pooping out golden eggs. That's what Ralph Sampson was in 1980. That's Ralph Sampson. Does that do that for you? You get that?
That just about does it. I think I do see a unicorn when I go down Broadway with the bachelorette parties from now and then.
Oh, on a pedal tavern, you know. Maybe on there. I don't know. But
there might actually.
We got off on that tangent there, but wait a minute.
Ralph Sampson, man. You start pulling up a name like Ralph Sampson. And the two young bucks are like, I don't know about that, but there's a box full of breakfast burritos in here. They got to get onto Google and look at Ralph Sampson, just so you
Virginia
understand.
Virginia was a real good program, and they've shown that still today in their basketball program. I mean, to make some comebacks here over the last 4 years, they've been pretty solid. And a lot of it has to do with their coach. But, yeah, man, so it's, we're going to have JG on, Virginia's finest.
Well, I want to – hey, he's younger than Ralph Sampson, but he didn't follow him by much at Virginia. I bet there was still some like Ralph Sampson era.
I think you can come out early, so he was there for 4 years or three.
He's there 4 years.
Yeah.
Imagine being a unicorn 7 foot four guy and staying in college 4 years, Lucas, as opposed to not just immediately going to the NBA and making millions, which is what he would do now. I mean, that dude. He would have been the first overall pick now after being a freshman. And then he could have started making his money even sooner and making his mark. And, you know, maybe he would have gotten a couple extra years on his knees. But, boy, he was great. Gosh, he was a great player.
Yeah. He was kind of the phenom like LeBron. You know, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Come on, he was supposed to change that whole program. I don't think they ever – did they win a national championship? No, I don't think they did.
Do you remember what they were? Do you remember what they were most noted for? Remember they went and played in the Chaminade, Classic, and they got beat by Chaminade.
They got beat by Chaminade. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was like a shocker. I mean, like it was like what? I mean, I wasn't even a Virginia fan, or you know, it's just like you follow Ralph. So he was that large. I mean, still today, if you saw him, people in our generation would definitely be like, "Hey, what's going on, Ralph?" I mean, man, this guy. And he never, because of the injuries, lived up to the billing. He had like a good little 3 or 4 year run, but after that, the knee issues, he was kept, you know, fighting through all of that. It was just, you never got to see how great he could have been, man. It was, wow. And then they had, you know, Akeem after that, and Akeem the Dream was, oh my God, he was incredible. And I saw him live.
Remember that they were the Twin Towers. That's what they called them, the Twin Towers. They had 2 7-foot guys. And so Akeem played center and Ralph played forward. They were just amazing. There was nothing like it at the time, man. Gosh, they were fun to watch. You got me fired up, Blaine.
They still couldn't take down them Celtics, though.
No, could not. They could not. And they had the Lakers Showtime to deal with in the West. Boy, that was such a good era for basketball. And the Rockets were a big part of that. Even in the 80s, people don't remember that. But they had a nice run in the 80s with Ralph and Akeem. And then Akeem just stuck with it, and then later on in the 90s you got the Clutch City Rockets. But the Rockets have been, I know they're on hard times now, but the Rockets were a good team in the 80s. Mm-hmm. They were a good team in the 90s, a great team in the 90s. Yeah. They won the two years that Jordan didn't, you know, participate. They knocked down two championships.
They took advantage of the situation.
They did.
And actually, I was living in Houston when they won those two national titles. I want to say it was in 97, 98. I could be off a year or two, but that, I'm sorry, 94 or 5.
Yeah.
Something like that. Because 97, 98, we were here in Nashville. So, yeah. So, yeah, they were, oh man, that city was rocking, man. We were just walking the streets.
Dude, in 97, you were commuting to Memphis to play professional football games.
No, you were.
Well, I mean, I was commuting there to watch.
I was flying.
Dude, I had a big weekend at the Liberty Bowl. I saw you guys play the Steelers. I saw Arkansas State play Memphis State. I think I even like got a hotel room with my friends and stayed over there that weekend. That was a heck of a weekend for me. It's a good weekend of football.
Guess who's having a great weekend right now? It's UT and these recruits. Oh my goodness. Can't wait to talk to Ryan Callahan about all of this, man. What's going on? Is this some signs of things to come there, Lucas?
In basketball, maybe.
Basketball.
Lucas.
No faith in them football.
Come on, man. He recruited 2-3 stars in football in the last 2 days. Meanwhile, Rick Barnes, SEC Mike, who was on with us last week, this is what he tweeted earlier. The Vols basketball class now includes the number 2 point guard, Kennedy Chandler, the number 7 center, which is Jonas Idu.
I do.
The number 11 small forward, who is Jemai Meshack, the number 1 power forward prospect, Huntley Hatfield, in the 22 class that has just reclassified himself. Come on, man. I mean, they had some roster attrition, but oh my gosh, is he plugging these holes with some guys?
Man, he's gonna have a little trouble just like Calipari, man. You know, one and doneers. Just keep rolling them in, and you don't get the chemistry you want. It takes a little bit longer, especially if you have like COVID, rampant, and you want to make sure everybody's staying healthy and secure and everything else. So, yeah, it's interesting though to see Tennessee basketball do this kind of recruiting. It's pretty impressive. I don't think we've ever seen it before.
No, nothing like this. And you're talking. I want to say that I looked yesterday. And 24/7. This was yesterday. This was without Huntley Hatfield. I think they were number 8 in the nation yesterday and number 2 in the SEC. I think that was before the addition of the guy who was the number 1 power forward prospect that reclassified. So who knows where they are now? So, but like you said, Rick Barnes got to adjust. You got to figure out how to mesh this talent quickly and get the most out of it for 1 year. I mean, they had two first-round draft picks on the team last year. First-round exit.
Well, so, they're supposed to be first-round picks. They haven't been picked yet.
Yeah.
But, you know. They will, but yeah. Not quite yet, but yeah. Recruiting's up, but winning in the tournament is down. So which is better? Would you rather win in the tournament or get a 4-5 star that's one and done? The things that Calipari had to deal with, naturally he had a whole bunch of them. But if you're UT, would you rather win and go deeper in the playoffs or the tournament? Or would you rather have more 5-4 stars?
I wonder also, for Vol fans, Blaine, I wonder how far do they think they can go with this team? Does this get you to Sweet 16? Does this get you to the Elite 8? Do you think Final Four? Because when last year started, remember, the confidence level was really high for that team. And by the end of the year, they limped to the finish line and lost in the first round. I wonder what people's confidence level is for this Vols team, knowing that you just landed this unbelievable haul for this year.
As long as everybody knows their role, and then you let the young bucks fly as 5 stars and no animosity amongst the veteran players. I think you need to identify and explain to everybody what their role is. And then I think they'll come together faster, sooner than later. You know, that's kind of where it is. Because I thought that was a little bit of the problem last year.
Well, we're going to talk about all of it with Ryan Callahan, 24/7 Sports. He is the director of recruiting. He joins us next on Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. What's going on?
Boom, 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 boom. Oh, man, yeah, song I know.
I feel like I should just let you vibe with this for a second, B-Bizzle.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, I was all about beats, man, because I could never understand people words. So I didn't know what they were saying, but I was like, oh, I like that beat.
Oh, man. Well, that's the Blues Traveler had a song that says it doesn't matter what I say. As long as I say it with inflection, the hook is what brings you back. The hook is what brings us back to Ryan Callahan. He hooks us in with all of his recruiting knowledge, recruiting editor for GoVols 24/7. Ryan, it's been a busy man. You're like a one-legged man at a butt-kicking contest these days. where do you even start? I apologize.
Where did that come from?
That's my grandfather used to say. When things got busy on the farm. That's what he said.
We're going to have to come up with the thing. That should be another topic. Things your grandpas used to say, man, that you should have your dad laughing today.
So with that, Ryan, welcome in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, but plenty to talk about these days. I mean, we're just when we think we can focus on, you know, spring football practice, transition from basketball season, and then recruiting, a big week for Tennessee in football and basketball on that front. So baseball, it never ends, but this has been a pretty busy stretch here lately.
So where do we even start for basketball? We can go back a few days, and there was the French guy, Quentin DeBonger.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Lucas is nodding yes. Is that right?
I don't know. It sounds right, though. I like it.
So we can start with him, and then to Jonas, and then to Brandon. We'll just use first names if we have to, but let's hear about those guys.
Yeah, some fun pronunciations among these. Quentin DeBonger is how that one has been pronounced to me.
Okay,
sort of an under the radar prospect from France, as you might imagine with that name, but a young wing and a talented guy that I think Tennessee's pretty excited about, despite him not being the highest ranked guy in this class for Tennessee. We've seen Rick Barnes find some sort of hidden gems somewhat, and I think they feel like they've got one in that. He's down at Montverde Academy in Florida right now, despite being from France. And, Tennessee, again, has somewhat similar background to a guy like Eve Pons, you know, that ended up being a really, really nice find. He was a little more highly touted than DeBonger, but still, I think they feel like they're getting a guy that has the potential to be a pretty major contributor down the road. 6'6", 185, and obviously that's the kind of guy you want on the wing these days with plenty of length. So I think they're happy about that pickup. But the two that were announced in different ways today, officially getting a signing in place from one of the 2021 prospects they had just landed. Jonas Adu, a top 100 player, a center, 6'11", from Charlotte, North Carolina. And then the sort of the big news of the day that people were maybe not expecting to happen at this point, but that had been kind of hinted at for a while, 5-star power forward Brandon Huntley Hatfield committing to the Vols in the 2022 class. So put all that together, it's going to be a very different-looking roster from last year. We knew it would be, but a couple big additions there in the post where they definitely need to get better. That I don't think they felt they had enough of a post presence this past season. Definitely addressing that with both that signing and the class of 2022 commitment that won't obviously be there until next year. But still two big additions there, and they continue to recruit well despite sort of a disappointing season. Obviously, with the way things ended, fans may be wondering if that's going to hurt recruiting in any way, and that's definitely not been the case so far. Rick Barnes and his staff still have it rolling pretty well on that front.
Joined by Ryan Callahan from 24/7 Sports, talking Vols, recruiting, and more.
Well, Ryan, I know this is not recruiting, but you were talking about, you know, 6'11 is, you know, 6'11 guys that are signing there. Has Fulkerson made a decision, or does this make him make a decision?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has not announced a decision yet. Now, the good thing for him is, and I guess for Tennessee, for the purposes of planning, is they don't have to really worry about whether he sticks around or not, because the free year of eligibility for the NCAA allows seniors to come back next year and not really count toward the scholarship limit. So they can sort of plan on him not being there and not have to worry about it either way in terms of the numbers. So him coming back would obviously be an added bonus, but no, he has not announced anything yet, and that's still sort of looming out there is one of the big pieces of news that's yet to be determined about this team and how it will look next season. So I think there's still a good bit of optimism that he returns, but we just don't know for sure. And there's been some chatter lately behind the scenes that maybe he announces something here pretty soon. So we'll see if that happens. But I think he's been thinking about it the past few weeks and should be getting fairly close to a decision. Even if it's not in the next few days, I think we should hear something on that before long. But I think there's still a real chance he returns.
Well, I guess let's get on to, we're on with Ryan Callahan with GoBalls247, and that is football, of course. I guess maybe we need to talk about, I guess, the commit so far for the 2022, and then who's on the radar for them in that class here in the, you know, mid-state.
Well, a bunch of guys, honestly. It's such a good in-state class in 2022 that Tennessee is, like a lot of schools, in on a lot of guys in-state and especially in the mid-state. But they got one of those guys yesterday, jump-starting the class with Elijah Herring, the linebacker from Riverdale High School there in Murfreesboro, of course, and a good program that's put out a number of good players over the years. And Herring, I think, a really nice pickup. A guy that's, you know, when you look at this class as a whole, he's not going to stand out in the rankings as one of the top five or seven guys in this class. But I think a really good, talented guy with a lot of upside, because he's probably going to be playing a position in college that's a little bit different from what he's done in high school. He's been more of an edge rusher in high school. But he's a pretty big frame guy, around 6'2", 225 right now. I think he's going to end up being an inside linebacker probably at the next level. So that addresses a pretty big need for Tennessee in that class to get some help fairly soon at that position to sort of restock the depth there. And he's on a 7-on-7 team there in the Middle Tennessee area with a lot of Tennessee targets, including some guys in Memphis who are on that team, but also Isaiah Horton, the 4-star wide receiver at Oakland, that's been a longtime Tennessee target. A couple guys in Memphis, Cameron Miller, a 4-star receiver, and Dallin Hayden, who are longtime Tennessee targets, the 4-star wide or 4-star running back, Dallin Hayden. And then Miles Pollard, the cornerback at Ravenwood. So a bunch of important Tennessee targets on that team. And now this gives Tennessee an important connection to some of those guys to maybe help out. But there's certainly a lot of in-state targets in Middle Tennessee and elsewhere Tennessee is still involved with, and getting a guy like that definitely gives them gets things started and gives them a little bit of a foothold there to maybe add some more in-state players to this class eventually.
Well, we're recruiting editor Ryan Callahan with GoBalls247. I guess one more for me, and that is, I guess they approved that an athlete can transfer, you know, with immediate eligibility after 1 year. Does that affect the SEC, or is that everybody has to abide by what the NCAA says?
Well, so there are two levels to that. So this, what's being approved, and I guess it's not been completely finalized yet, although it's obviously been reported that it's going to be finalized this week. They've been having meetings today, in fact, on some of the rules changes that they'll be adopting for this coming year. But one of those things is the one-time transfer exception. And two things have to happen to that from an SEC perspective. The NCAA approving it will make it an option, obviously, for mostly intra-conference transfers from the SEC's perspective. That rule also, though, it can have more restrictive rules from one conference to the next. And so in the SEC's case, they've had their own rule in place for years that has prevented intra-conference transfers from being eligible right away. That used to also apply to graduate transfers. And just a few years ago, you might remember Tennessee's offensive lineman Brandon Kennedy having to sort of jump through some hoops to go from Alabama to Tennessee and be eligible right away. He was eventually cleared, but that was not an easy thing at the time. So now grad transfers can transfer and be eligible right away in the SEC. But even if this NCAA rule is passed, the SEC still has to take the step of making it allowed for intra-conference transfers. So Tennessee, in theory, would be able to add out-of-conference players and they'd be eligible right away. But for anyone transferring within the conference, there would still be an approval process. And most players would have to assume they would have to sit out unless the SEC allows that. So it's up to the SEC at that point. But this has been expected for a while. So big news. And obviously it has a lot of ripple effects throughout college sports, frankly, just to have that ability to transfer and be eligible right away. It's kind of free agency in college sports, and it's going to make the transfer portal an even bigger deal.
No doubt about it. We're on with recruiting editor Ryan Callahan with GoBalls247.
So speaking of recruiting, did I see this never-ending dead period might actually end? Really? I mean, are we out of dead period? Are we finally going to leave the dead period behind?
It looks like that's the case. That's one of the other things they are deciding on today, and should be announced, I think, by tomorrow at the latest, that they are voting to end that dead period. Now, the details of exactly how it ends and what will be allowed will be interesting to see. But this is something that they've sort of hinted at for the past few weeks, that it was likely coming. They've extended this several times, obviously, since shutting things down last March. So for more than a year, there's been no in-person recruiting visits. You've had players that have sometimes gone to campuses on their own dime and just looked around. But when they go, they can't meet with coaches. They can't really do anything you would normally do on a recruiting visit other than look around the campus and go anywhere that the public is allowed to go. So it's been very limited, and that's forced everything to be handled by Zoom. But now, starting June 1st, in some form or fashion, it sounds like there will be in-person recruiting, at least on college campuses. And so the question becomes, will they pick up with where they would normally be in a normal recruiting calendar on June 1st? Will they alter it a little bit this year? Because normally there's a month-long dead period that starts in late June and goes into late July. So will they keep that dead period there? Will they shorten that? Will there not be a dead period at all this summer, since it's already been a dead period for more than a year? They've still got some things to figure out. Will college camps be held in the same capacity with hundreds of kids on the field together at these college camps to give prospects a chance to work out in front of college coaches and earn offers and things like that? Some details to figure out, and that'll be the fascinating part of the announcement. But that is coming. The dead period will end, and June 1st, finally, recruits will be able to take true visits again.
It's interesting to me, Ryan, to look ahead a year or so from now and think about all these guys and gals too, people who are going to colleges that they never, like you said, some went on their own dime. But if you didn't have your own dime to fly across the country or whatever, you're going to some place to live and play sports and go to school that you've never been to. I wonder how many people might get there. Maybe they're from somewhere warm and they go somewhere cold, or they're from one side of the country and they go to the other, or they're from the south and they go to the north, however it might be. And they get there and think, oh my gosh, I want out of here. I wonder what that portal is going to look like next year with people who are getting somewhere and thinking, this is not where I want to live for 4 years.
Yeah, it's interesting that the one-time transfer exception is being approved on the NCAA level at the same time this dead period is finally coming to an end, because those two things, I think, will end up being very closely related. As you said, I think there's a lot of speculation that this class, this one that just signed, and these players who will enroll this summer in particular, since they went through the final 10 months or 12 months of the recruiting process without getting to take official visits or any of that stuff, really might have more transfers than you see in a typical class. Obviously, only time will tell with that, but there's so much unknown. I mean, you can take all the Zoom virtual tours of campuses you want. You can talk with coaches by Zoom and by FaceTime all you want. That's not necessarily the same as being around on a visit, getting to spend time with players and get some honest feedback from them. It's not the same from college's perspective. They can't get a player on campus and get a read for that player's personality and character. So how many players do they end up taking that maybe they have buyer's remorse on, in some cases where guy gets in trouble once he gets to college because of some red flags that maybe you could have seen if you'd gotten him on campus as a recruit? So could be some real trouble with both on both sides for some of these players, but they did the best they could, everyone involved. And now it's thankfully for the 2022 class, that won't be the same. It looks like with this, obviously things opening up June 1st, they'll at least get to take some visits these final 7 months or so leading up to that early signing period. And that's a big deal.
I'm with Ryan Callahan, at Ryan Callahan 247 on Twitter, recruiting editor for Go Vols 247.
Well, just a couple more questions there, Ryan, and that is, how many guys are coming down for the 2020 class, I guess, for an official visit for like the spring game, right?
Well, yeah, so the dead period will not end in time for the spring game for Tennessee to host any true visitors for that. But again, with the dead period, players can still come on their own dime. So what you've seen from Tennessee with their announcement of how they'll handle fans for the spring game is sort of first come, first serve, no tickets being distributed. So they certainly are hoping some prospects will be in attendance for that game. But definitely some official visits will crank up in June. And we've already had a number of Tennessee targets and players targeted by their schools lining up official visits and announcing dates for June. So this has been long anticipated, and a lot of players have already made plans for official visits in the month of June. So that month will be pretty wild, I think, in terms of just the sheer amount of players you'll see going to campuses, having that chance for the first time. Tennessee, you know, they got another commitment today from Vincent Snead, a defensive end from Florida. So up to two commitments and kind of getting the ball rolling on that class. And some big-name players already planning to visit in June. Mike O'Reilly, a top tight end target from Nebraska, who's a four-star prospect. Terrence Gibbs, a highly ranked running back from Florida. Both those guys scheduled. And then Tennessee's top quarterback target, Taven Jackson from Indiana. He's already scheduled to come down the second weekend in June. So a number of other guys already visiting. But, yeah, Tennessee's got a pretty full schedule already for June, and I'm sure a lot more who will be added along with whoever visits for camps and all that stuff. If you like recruiting, the month of June is going to be pretty interesting to follow because there will be a lot happening either way.
No doubt about it. I guess lastly, and you may not know the answer to this question, is about the spring game. And I'm asking, how will it be structured, like, as far as the actual scrimmaging? Are they doing, you know, ones versus ones, you know, ones versus twos, or threes versus threes? How are they, you know, planning to do it, or if you know or not?
Yeah, we don't know on that yet. The details haven't been announced on that just yet, but that's something that sometimes varies a little bit based on the injury situation. We've seen coaches change plans depending on how much depth they have. In Tennessee's case, for instance, they've got three or four scholarship linebackers out there, so they want to go ones versus twos or get a little creative in how you divide up the team. Some years it's offense against defense, so there's really no telling on that yet, and we'll have to wait and see what Josh Heupel says about that probably on Saturday when we speak with him again. But that's we've seen a lot of those different variations over the years, and I'm sure they'll do as close as they can to a normal game. But sometimes staffs have to get creative with the depth, and Tennessee's situation at a couple positions certainly could play into that.
Cool.
Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7. Anybody that's even driven through Knoxville recently, if they call into the show, I feel like we have to ask them, what are you hearing about the quarterbacks? Just so we'll ask, because you've been in Knoxville, what are you hearing about the quarterbacks?
They got three. Well, thankfully, we got to see them a little bit Saturday with the open practice. That was a nice treat for those of us who cover the team. I felt like media made up probably 10% of the people in attendance because there were so many of us eager to actually see a few minutes of real football. That gave us a real glimpse, I think, of where that stands right now. I think, and everything we had heard kind of aligned with this, what we saw Saturday, I think Hendon Hooker, the Virginia Tech transfer, looked like the early front runner to me. I think maybe pretty clearly at the moment. Now, Brian Maurer had some really good moments, made some plays, but he's still kind of the same guy he's been throughout his Tennessee career, which is has some really high highs, but also some really low lows. He continues to make throws that you just can't make. Very, very loose with the ball, making some risky throws. So I think that's going to hinder him a little bit as he continues to compete for that job, but he's still in the mix. And Harrison Bailey mostly worked with the second and third team offenses. So looks like he at least has some ground to make up right now, but I certainly wouldn't count him out of it this early. So Caden Salter, the wild card, he's not out there yet, but he should return from his suspension at some point. Does he end up becoming a factor? But right now, Hendon Hooker's an experienced guy, 15 starts at Virginia Tech the past 2 years, and he looked pretty steady out there Saturday, so he may not have the highest ceiling out of those guys, but to me, he's the one they feel they can count on probably with that experience and just kind of how consistent he's been so far.
Ryan, real quick, do you know why Hooker transferred from Virginia Tech? I mean, did he lose his job through injury, or how did that happen?
Yeah, so there's an interesting story because he was in he briefly entered the transfer portal the previous offseason too before deciding to come back and stay at Virginia Tech for another year, and then started another 7 or 8 games last year. He did end up losing the starting job before the end of last season, but I can't remember if that was an injury situation or what. But he had a strange deal. Oh, it was a game that where he kind of left with some numbness in one of his extremities or something. It was sort of a confusing situation to a lot of people. But that next game, he didn't come back in as a starter, and then a few weeks later, he's in the transfer portal. So it happened pretty quickly. But the fact that he'd been in the portal the previous season, too, made you wonder if there was some, you know, just maybe some friction with that staff or anything like that. You never know what could be going on behind the scenes. But certainly wasn't because he was out of the mix for the starting job. He would have been in the discussion, I think, at Virginia Tech again this year. But just clearly wanted a fresh start somewhere and had at least 1 year of eligibility left and had kind of toyed with the idea of moving on the previous year, too.
Cool.
Good stuff, Ryan. We'll keep in touch. I guess the Wade brothers are set to announce where they're headed tomorrow. So possibly maybe some more Tennessee recruiting news before the end of the week, maybe possibly.
Maybe. I think we've got our latest update on GoVols 24/7 right now. I think another SEC team might be the more likely destination there. I think there's a lot of Kentucky talk right now, and would not be surprised if those guys end up choosing the Wildcats. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. But that one's been an interesting battle down the stretch and has had an interesting twist here the past few weeks. So I think Kentucky might be the favorite at this point.
Well, people just need to follow you at Ryan Callahan 247 for all the latest news, because you always got it. Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Sir.
Ryan Callahan, GoVols 247. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Got John Glennon coming up in the next hour. Stay tuned. One more segment in this hour. Curious if you're a Vols basketball fan. I would really like to hear your confidence level with this new class. We put out a poll at the Blaine and Mickey Twitter. We'll give you an update on yesterday's poll question, too. We'll do all that next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5, The Zone. Yeah, last 2 days have been big recruiting days up on Rocky Top. So Brandon Huntley Hatfield, I guess a Clarksville guy, announced his reclassification into the class of 2021 and his commitment to Tennessee. He's 6'9", 230.
Ooh.
I mean,
what are they feeding these kids in high school? Good.
I don't know. Where are these people? Dude, where I came from.
Don't let me see their parents and they're both all like under 6 feet.
Hey,
like,
man.
Uh-oh, I need to see the grandparents.
Somebody, I need to see the mailman. I need to see the mailman.
Mailman. Somebody right out here.
Yeah. How does that happen, though? Yeah. Brian Swinkie.
You need to ask Lucas, because he said both his parents is 5'5 and 5'2.
Okay. Brian Swinkie, who played for the Titans, what, 5 years? When he got here.
Oh, that's a good one.
When he got here, I went up to him after practice one day, and I said,
about his measurables first. How tall is he?
What is he, 6? Is he 6'2 or 6'3?
I would say 6'3, 4, and a guard in the National Football League. A huge individual.
All right. Brian.
Mickey knew his parent, his dad, and his dad was how big, Mickey?
Okay, 6'3, 210. Brian Swinkie, 6'3, 210.
No.
That's what he's listed as officially.
310. Was it height?
Three ten. Let me don't want to shortchange him a hundo. I texted somebody when he got drafted by the Titans, and I said, this is the craziest thing. The Titans just drafted a guy named Brian Swinkie, and the person I texted said, yes, he's Brian Swinkie's son, dummy. How many people do you think are walking to earth named Brian Swinkie? I said, well, two. They said, that's his son. His dad went to a rival high school of me, right down the road from where I was from in Jonesboro. So first day after practice, I go up to him and I said, dude, I know your dad a little bit. I grew up just outside of Jonesboro. And I said, where did you come from? And he busted out laughing. He said, everybody asked that. He said, my dad is your size.
Yeah. You should have asked him how tall was his mother, though. And if she was about the same height as you, that's a pretty tall woman. You know, that's a 5, you know, 8 size woman.
Well, it's nice to know I'm tall as something anyway. Yes.
5'8" woman, that's pretty tall.
He had a good laugh about that. Really awesome guy, Brian Swinkie. Yeah, so there are at least 2 Brian Swinkies walking the earth. So yesterday we asked this question.
Wait, real quick, I just have to add this to this whole story. Added to that, I mean, not nothing really, but it's just a fact. What we learned on recruiting with my son is they look at the mother to base to how big the actual kid could actually be at some point. So if you have a short wife, don't take her on any recruiting trip. Because, you know, it's a guessing game. You know, some kids can get to college and grow like 5 more inches. And then some be like, hey, man, that guy done peaked out right there, man. He's not getting no taller. The mom's only like 5'2".
Hey, man. Scottie Pippen is the all-time growth in college story. He grew like 7 inches in college.
Yeah. No doubt. So, yeah, man. Just so you know, they looking at the wifeys for as far as size.
Think about that. Your mom's like 5'11". You're trying to, you know, maybe you're getting recruited by some smaller schools. You got one shot at SEC school. Like, you let mom, it's like that. You let the biggest guys get off the bus first.
Yeah. Dude, the tallest.
You roll into that top. Mom gets out the bus first. Mom gets out of the car. Like, hey, man, because they're going to start recruiting you from the jump. Like, hey, man, your mom's 5'11". Yep. She gets out of the car first.
Oh, man. Get you,
That might get you looked at that weekend.
My mom, I wish they would have had recruiting service in, because I would have ended up at Ball State. My mom is 5'11". We looked eyeball to eyeball. Yeah, my mom is 5'11", and my dad is 5'11". And I want you to guess who was bow-legged. So I took a lot after my dad. So it didn't work for me. It did not work. I was like, dang, I barely got taller than my mom. Wow.
Yeah, my dad was about 5'6 or 5'7, and my mom was about the same size, 5'6, 5'7.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a couple inches taller than your tallest mom parent.
in my family of people that have my last name, so like my dad's sisters got married, have different last, their kids have different last names. I'm the tallest Ryan that there is in my family. Nope. I'm the tallest person named Ryan. Like at the family reunion, I was a giant. People would gather around me and marvel at my size.
I was probably in the middle. I mean, I have uncles that are 6'4", 6'2", 6'6". Yeah, I don't know. My grandmother was about 5'8", and my granddad was like 6'1". So they got the height, and it skipped me.
All right, I'm going to blow your mind with something, then I'll update these polls. This is a real thing. My dad's parents, and I never knew his dad. He died in the 50s. His parents and his mother, who I grew up with and knew well, were born in the 1800s. My grandmother was
born. 1898.
She was born in the 1800s and like was my buddy. She died in 1980. So I knew her well. She was born in the 1800s. She could tell you, I remember the first time I saw a car. I remember the first time I saw an airplane. She could tell you all that stuff. It was amazing.
I want you to bring a picture if you can find it at some point. I don't know if it may take you like 4 days, but you know, you got to go. I know you got your basement. You got a lot of that stuff down there. You got
my basement.
Yeah, in your basement. So, you know, I know you got to filter through a lot of stuff. So if you find it, man, I'd love for you to, you know, especially when we get, you know, you got plenty of time. You just got to make sure it's by the 18th when we're in studio and everybody can see us so you can show everybody on the video screen. Yeah, so that way
my 1800s grandmother. Yes, that my kids cannot even understand that. That has completely blown their mind.
That blows me away too.
1800s. She was born in the 1800s. That's a real thing that happened.
My grandmother was born 1921.
No, she was young.
Yeah,
she was young.
Oh,
Jadeveon Clowney signed with the Browns. We asked this question yesterday. Do Titans fans? Did you want him back? With the two-tone blue for another season. 85% said no. 15% actually said yes. Some interesting quotes from Clowney yesterday. Yeah, for the right price. And he's, what, 8? You said yesterday with a chance to get to 10 is where he landed with Cleveland.
Yeah. No, I'm at 5, but he was throwing a little bit of shots, you know. I didn't like it. I know it was all probably in fun, but, you know, let's see what you do with Cleveland. Because he was talking about, I get to play opposite a great player.
I thought
you were a great player, bro.
Yeah. Let's get into that on the other side. Some interesting quotes from him yesterday, Jadeveon Clowney, after he signed with the Browns. There's another poll up at Blade and Mickey, already getting some interesting answers. It's pretty even. Based on his current recruiting class for Vol Hoops, how far do you think this team can go next season? We'll tell you that when we start the second hour of Blade and Mickey. That's next, 104.5.
I'm recruiting